Our God and our Saviour, we give thee thanks in and through the name of Jesus Christ, the Saviour, the one name given from heaven by whom we must be saved, if we are to be saved. We thank thee, Lord, for this opportunity to study thy word and to learn more of Christ. We pray, O Lord, that thou will give that help in the hearing and the application of the word. It's so easy that it would go in the ears, that it would warm the heart, and it does not affect the hands or the feet. Lord, will thou give that grace from above that it would do so, that we would make a grateful use of the word of Christ. Lord, help us, we pray this evening, and give me help, O Lord, and help us in this time of prayer. Hereafter we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please open your copies of God's word to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We'll read a few verses from verse 13. Verses 13 to 17 of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, commencing our reading at verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen. Short, and I trust sweet, this evening, as we're considering together with the Lord's gracious help, verse 16, the whole of this verse, Ephesians 6 and verse 16, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, that is the wicked one. So we've seen that the belt of truth puts and keeps everything in place. It is an important, although we would consider a minor, but a very major piece of that equipment, else Paul would not have mentioned it. So we have the belt of truth, we have the breastplate of righteousness, protecting the vitals, wherever we are. And we've seen the boots of readiness as the foundation of everything that the soldier does. So we've looked at those three aspects now, and all of those parts of the armor that we've already considered are protective and they are defensive. But we now come to a part of the armory that is useful for both defense and for attack. It's for both sides. And that is the shield. And not just any man-made shield, but specifically the shield of faith in Christ. The shield of faith in Christ. And the title of this Bible study is Saving Faith, an Impenetrable Shield. Saving Faith, an Impenetrable Shield. Well, as we've done previously, let us ask ourselves, what is this shield? What is this shield that we're being shown today by the Apostle Paul? Well, firstly, I want to answer that by saying, what is a shield? And what is a shield in the Bible? We're not going to go through 6,000 years of human history and picking out the variants in the Hittite civilization, as boring or as interesting as you may find that. What does the Bible say? And that is what we always must take as our context in everything. It may be interesting what philosophers say. It may be interesting what other people have said and what other cultures have come to. But how we understand every word in the scriptures is how the scripture uses them. We had that thought when we were considering the use of the word servant and slave. What that means. Well, let's see what the Bible says. And then we learn from that. And then we have a biblical context and a biblical answer. So what is a shield in the Bible? There are two types of shield in the Bible. I'll try to be very quick for those that do not find this interesting. There are two types. One's called a shield and one's called a buckler. And you may read about them quite often throughout the scriptures that he took up a shield or he had a buckler. And think, well, what are these? Is it just a, Is it just two different words for the same thing? No, it's two different words for two different aspects of a similar thing. So a shield, what is a shield? Well, we know what a shield is when we think about it, I hope. The usual round, and you can have an oblong one, different shapes, but essentially it's a wooden shield. And it can be covered. It can be covered with things. It can be covered with hide. That's sort of like, that would be your Honda of the shields. It's useful. It lasts long, but it's not very fancy. But it's good. Or you could have a metal sheet on top of that wooden frame. And that's a lot better. That's maybe a GMC. Maybe that's a few steps higher in the quality of shield. And if you wanted something more, then you'd have a boss on the front, and a boss is a piece of concave metal that is really adds extra ability, extra functionality to the shield. And suddenly, from just being a plain shield, when something strikes, it can go left, right, it can fall off towards your head, it could fall off towards your feet. But the boss gives you that chance to catch it and to move it, and it gives that extra added functionality called the boss of the shield. And that is, well, you pick then what you think your high market but practical vehicle is as the third level of a shield. And when we have that boss, when we have that metal covering, when we have a sturdy wooden frame to support this, to be a shield, then anything that comes in, the sword, the axe, the spear, the halberd, if you know what a halberd is, sort of a very long sort of axe on a very long shank of wood, then it will be deflected by this boss as it comes in. A buckler, on the other hand, is a much smaller shield. It's about this high, about 1.5 feet, and it's gripped by the fist with a central handle inside. And you might think that is a mini shield and is of no use. It's absolutely no use. You try to hide behind it, you know, he still sees you and can attack most of you. It's obviously not a shield in that way. It actually takes the aspect of the boss that goes on the main shield and makes that into a protective and deflecting weapon. It's more agile, it's lighter, your arm is not going to get heavy trying to support yourself as you're attacking, and then it gets heavy because it is wood and metal and the like. It's a lot lighter. And used to block, used to parry very, very swiftly. You don't have to raise up the whole thing. And you can see what you're doing when you're doing it. You're not hiding behind the shield and semi-blind as you're protecting yourself. So you can parry, you can deflect, and if you're in close enough, you can smash. It becomes a weapon, a very useful weapon as well. So yes, it's they're the two aspects. Or the two types of shield, we can say, that are represented in the Bible. And the Psalms, as well elsewhere in the Bible, specifically the Psalms, regularly refer to the Lord as a shield. About 17 times, according to my Bible software. 4 times he's referred to as a buckler. And in 2 Psalms, Psalm 35 and 91, he refers to himself as both. Psalm 91 and verse 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. So the Lord shields and he protects and he covers like a shield, and he parries and he deflects and he smashes our enemies at the same time. But the question of the point was, what is this shield? So we've seen what a shield is and the aspects of how the Lord presents himself as a shield. But the question of the point is what is this shield that we're given here? And it's not the round shield, medieval shield. It's not the sort of oval-shaped Hittite shield or any other shield. It's a specific shield. It's a Roman shield. So how can you tell? It's the word that's used. It's not the usual word shield in Greek. It's the Greek word for the Roman shield. The word here, thurios, in Greek, it means literally a door shield. That word means a door. So it's a door-like shield. And that was the Greek name for the Roman scutum, if you know anything of that. So when we think of a Roman soldier, then you'll know that he has a shield that's about this big. It's this tall, it's about this wide, and it's curved. So it's not easy to get round because there's a curve there. It's this tall so you can get down, you can pick it up, and if he has metal greaves on and good boots on, you know, that's protected as well. So he lifts it up, and he is almost as good as surrounded. Well, he's not obviously surrounded, but with that curve, it really protects. And and because it looked like a door, they called it, you know, the door shield. So it's 4 feet tall, say, maybe even higher, maybe 2 or 3 feet wide. And it's built layer upon layer upon layer. And without going into the detail, although it is an early plywood, which is very interesting, it has got this leather or metal top. It has many different layers, which makes it very, very strong. So strong that we still have Roman shields in museums around the world. And what does this Roman shield have besides this huge shape? It also has a huge metal boss. Behind that metal boss, there's a handle to hold it. There are also straps as well. So the soldier isn't just holding it to defend himself, but if he has to use both arms, as it were, to pull it down. If he's on the floor and they're trying to pull it up just to stab him, he can hold the whole thing down. It was a fantastic piece of equipment. It's also one of the reasons that the Roman army just overran country after country, kingdom after kingdom, because they were really top notch. They were they had the high tech of the day. And so yes, it was a door, literally shutting out the attacks of the enemy directly in front of it, and it covers you as you remain behind it. And as I said, it could be used very aggressively as well as very defensively. I mean, the thing was a huge thing that you could lift up and really do damage to somebody lying on the ground. I'll leave the rest up to your own imagination. But even groups of soldiers together could work together and they could create a wall. They could just tuck each shield into each other and they would all be behind it, and they could all use their combined energy to protect themselves against whatever was coming before them. And if you know anything about the Romans and the way that they, the Roman soldiers and how they would fight, is they would all, as a group, they would use these shields. They would surround themselves with their own shields and have enough over, by the way that they stood together, that every second man would put his shield on top of him. So they literally had a shield on all four sides and on top, and they had a name for this called the testudo, which sounds very elegant, but it just means tortoise. It's tortoise in Latin. And so they would call itself the tortoise formation. And they could go right up to city walls, and the stones and the rocks and whatever being thrown down upon them was no matter. They could go there and they could do whatever they needed to do to take that city. And so we see that it is a great piece of equipment. And Paul points to this. That's the shield that the Apostle Paul wants us to have in our mind. He doesn't talk about the general Greek shield. He's not talking about a buckler. He's using this Greek name for the Roman shield, this door-like shield. Before we go any further, we've seen what this shield is in the Bible. But there is a priority to this shield that Paul gives, because he begins the verse 16 with the phrase, above all. Above all, taking the shield of faith. And does he say this so we may understand that this shield is the most important of all the armor mentioned so far? And the answer is yes and no. Yeah, well, hopefully that's clear for you. Yes, the shield is vital. The shield is very important. But that the expression above all is really saying in addition to. In addition to the belt and the breastplate and the boots, on top of all these other things, we are to take the shield of faith. But it does, even in the Greek, it's not just including this, it does have an idea of being even more important, but also the idea of being in addition to. So in addition to all the others, you must never forget your shield of faith. So we've seen what is this shield, but secondly we want to see how does this shield work? How does this shield work? And above all, taking the shield of faith, he says this. Its working is in the name, the shield of faith. It's a shield of faith that is added to truth, it's added to righteousness, it's added to peace, or the preparation of the gospel of peace. It's added to those things. And they're not separable. They're not separable. There's no way that you could be wearing the breast of righteousness if you did not possess true saving faith. And you would not have peace with God as your foundation if you did not have saving faith. So in sense of saying above all, you know, he's in saying, well, under everything. Under everything we have, you know, under the boots and under the breastplate and under the belt, well, there must be saving faith. And those three are all evidenced by faith. But now we're not talking about the passiveness of the reality of saving faith, but we're talking about the expression of saving faith, because this is an active matter in the shield of faith. As a soldier who is to be an effective soldier needs to trust his own weapons. He's not gonna lift up the sword and start bringing the sword down and think, the blade's gonna get loose again. I'm gonna lose the blade and then I'm gonna hit nothing. He's got to trust that the weapon is gonna do what it's gonna do, and he's got to trust the fact that it's well sharpened before he went into battle. He's got to trust his equipment so he will use it without thinking, as it were. And it will just do exactly what he needs to do at the time, as the reflex take over, as the adrenaline starts pumping, or pumps even more, that he can just do what he needs to do. And that is the same thing with the Christian soldier, is you are to put your trust in the weaponry and in the armory that Christ gives you to live this life for him. You're to put your wholehearted trust in the shield of faith to protect you and your soul every second of every day, because we're not just going onto a battlefield and then walking off. And when we're saved, we enter onto the battlefield, and it's only our death that takes us off this battlefield. We are fighting the good fight all the time, and therefore we must have that preparation in the boots, and we must be girded with truth, and we must have the breastplate of righteousness, and above all, taking, there's a very active thing there, taking the shield of faith, taking it up, picking it up. Because it is a constant fight, a fight against the world, the flesh and the devil, as we've already seen. And this shield, though we're thinking about it as an external thing, is actually an internal thing. The shield of faith is worked in us at conversion. The Spirit of God that comes to convert you creates in you a shield you never had before. You never had a shield at all. You were vulnerable, you were open, you were exposed to all woundings, all matters, all attacks in the world. But now you have a shield, and the shield is called the shield of faith. And this shield of faith is not something separate from Christ. In fact, in many ways, it is very connected to Christ. In fact, we might even say this, that this shield of faith is Christ. The shield of faith is Christ himself, and it is Christ's word. In whom do we have faith? Christ. How do we grow in faith? How have we come to even think of faith? Through Christ's word. And as we mentioned only a few weeks ago now, about what is faith, which very, very simple core matter of what faith is. It is a trusting and it is a believing. And that trusting and that believing is expressed in our lives. So I'm saying it's an active shield. It's not just a passive acknowledgement that there is some sort of spiritual protection. No, it's an active thing that we take up, that we do. And how do we express this, that we have this shield? How do we express that we have saving faith? It is in a heartfelt and a humble obedience to every word of Christ. We're holding on to that shield for our life's worth. Literally, figuratively, spiritually. We're laying hold on Christ. We're laying hold on the shield of faith. And we take up the scriptures as a shield. As a shield against human enemies. Those that in the world would hurt us, even those in the church that would wound us, the scriptures teach us how to react to such wounding. For example, we're not to return insult with insult, but we're to return insult with blessing. Now, we often come out of the shield with our flesh and want to fire a dart back, as it were. But no, we're to stay behind the shield of faith, the shield of Christ, and bless those that curse us. And we're to cast all those cares and those wounds and those hurts upon our loving Heavenly Father who careth for us. Why? Because the word of Christ tells us to do so. We're obedient. And obedience to the word of Christ keeps us behind the shield of Christ. And as every army has, as you considered human enemies, every army has the next enemy, the enemy within. There are enemies within, the fifth columnists, the lazy soldier, the soldier that doesn't have your back, or the soldier that's bribed by the enemy in some way. But in any case, they're not your best friend, they're not your best comrade. And so we have our own enemy within, and that's our own personal traitor and our own personal backstabber, and that's called our old man of the flesh. And unfortunately, although he be, as far as justice is concerned with God, he is dead, we know that morally we still have a great battle against him. And so we must use the scriptures to kill this enemy. This enemy within, this enemy, this bosom enemy. And we learn of his ways in the scriptures. For example, in Romans 7, gives us a detailed working of this enemy within. Or the scriptures teach us what we're to do with this enemy. We've looked at them in Ephesians 4 and verse 5. But all over the scriptures, we see examples. We see bad examples of those that have listened to their flesh. Even prophets, great prophets who received a clear command from God, and then in the course of the day they disobey what God said. They came out from under the shield, and what was behind the shield, as it were, or what was in front of the shield, in this particular prophet's case, a lion that mauled him and killed him. So we have the enemy within that must be dealt with. And finally, the ultimate enemy is the enemy of God's people, and that is the devil. And that is most especially what Paul is dealing with here. So what is this shield and how does this shield work? Well, it works by faith because it is faith. And then finally, what does this shield do? What does this shield do? Well, that's what the latter part of Ephesians 6 verse 16 tell us. Above all, taking the shield of faith, taking it up, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Firstly, we see, as we come to this last point, this shield excels. This shield excels. This trusting in Jesus above all is a mighty shield. It is a mighty shield. As soon as we get out from behind this shield, what do we have? We have the fiery darts of the devil coming at us, looking for any chink, as it were, in our armor. And the chink in our armor is found as soon as we come a little bit out. Out of the safety of God's moral law, out of the safety of gracious behavior, out of the safety of obedience to every word of Christ, as soon as we come out, and believers, we know this from personal and bitter experience, as soon as we come out, the devil's got his darts right in. And even the foolishness of it. Just imagine two soldiers, they're in the fight, and the army's maybe 100 yards ahead, and the other one starts making a funny joke just because he's nervous, and as he makes this funny joke, he sort of raises his hand in the joke, and then there's an arrow through his hand. Just the foolishness, just being distracted by not trusting in this shield. But this shield excels. It is a mighty shield. How mighty? It's strong, it's sturdy, it's solid, and it is secure. It's all of those. And you say, where do you get that from? Well, I get that from Psalm 18 and verse 2. It says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. And all of this is what faith is, because in whom is our faith fixed? In Jesus Christ. It's because it is Jesus Christ in whom our faith is fastened, but also by and through whom our faith is made. The Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have been drawn to Christ by the Father. The triune God is our shield. Jehovah is our shield and buckler. And that's why we are exceedingly safe behind this excellent shield. A shield that excels like no other shield. We've never had such a shield before. Look, as I mentioned, because we've never had a shield. When we were in the kingdom of Satan, the only thing that you got from Satan, besides his boot upon your neck and his fist in your ribs, is he would shield your eyes from seeing the gospel. He would cloud your understanding. He would pick out the word of that's preached so you, that you would never believe. We've never had shielding from the devil before until saving faith has worked in our soul and we may lay hold upon our buckler, upon our shield, upon our high tower, that we rush into the high tower. We hide behind the shield. And now we have the shield of shields. The shield of shields, an eternal and an unbreakable shield, an impenetrable shield. And that's why we have to remain behind this shield at all times. If we use human reasoning, or if we give in to the old man of the flesh that would have us obey this much of Christ but this much of us, well, this much we're outside of the shield. This much we're in the shield. Now, if you have a shield that's only covering this much of your body, then you must admit there's an awful lot that's exposed to the devil, and it is. Anything that would draw us out of the shelter of the shield would cause us to be in great trouble. But while we remain safe behind Christ, we are protected. Now, foolish and arrogant Christians can sometimes despise the shield because you take it for granted. The shield has been there so long in front of you, and you've been protected by it, so much so that you've forgotten about the onslaught of the devil. It's all happening on that side of the shield, and everything seems so quite peaceful and okay here, so much so that, as it were, you put the shield down, you dig it into the ground, and you think you can just walk freely behind, and as soon as you do so, the arrows are... See, the arrow, it may come past the shield, but it's soon going to come down. And if you're not huddled behind that shield, there are different ways that the devil will seek to attack you. And as you come out of that curved shield, come out, there's an angle of attack there. There's an angle of attack there. You stay behind that shield and you are absolutely safe. But we can be very foolish, taking the Lord for granted, playing fast and loose with the word of God, deciding which command to obey or not, as I've already mentioned. But you are not to be a foolish soldier. You're not to be a foolish soldier. You now know better. You knew better anyway. I knew better. But you are to be wise and therefore safe. This shield excels. And then finally, this shield extinguishes. And it says in the latter part of 16, verse 16, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. When we wholeheartedly trust Christ, that is not a feeling. There are feelings involved, but it is not a feeling. It's when we trust him implicitly in every command that he says. And when he says, love thine enemy, we might think, yeah, but Lord, thou knowest not how horrid that person is, how terrible that person is. And the Lord, of course, can say, of course I do. I've had friends betray me. I've had family turn against me. I've had nation turn against me. I've had my high priest turn against me. The Lord knows about betrayal. The Lord knows about enemies that should be friends and enemies who are great enemies. We have betrayed him, and he loves us. The Lord knows about forgiving our enemy. And we think it's difficult, but it's not difficult when we trust and obey. When we wholeheartedly trust Jesus and we obey his every word. And what is therefore the promise that's made here when we obey his every word? Even those words that we've not yet obeyed, even those words of God that we've decided, well, we'll put those on the back burner. We will make a pecking order in God's word that he hasn't given. We're playing a dangerous game. But when we do obey Christ wholeheartedly, not as dead legalists, but wholeheartedly obey Jesus Christ, not one of the fiery darts of the devil will enter in. That is the amazing truth, the powerful promise that's made here. When we do so, doesn't mean the attack is not going to be there. Yes, the attack is continuing. And probably the more obedient we are, the more the attack comes. And why is that? Because we're huddled behind the shield of Christ, and the devil can't get a dart in edgeways. So yeah, more darts on that one over there. But we're hiding behind the shield, and it says that that shield will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. But we are needy soldiers. We have to understand that. We are needy soldiers. And we must humble ourselves, and that means that we have to hide and cower behind Christ. We have to cower behind the Word of God in everything. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. And we have to do that in everything. And don't care what that soldier along the line is saying. When that soldier's saying, look, I've walked around my shield twice now, didn't get one dart. And it's a bit of an exaggeration what it says. Or another one over there says, you know, why have you got your whole kit on? You don't need your belt. It's so hot weather, you can do without the belt, for example. Don't listen to them. You hide behind Christ in all things. Above all. Above all. Hide behind Jesus. And then the devil will have nothing in you, as Christ himself could say to his disciples after the Lord's Supper. John 14 and verse 30, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. And every burning arrow that the devil would send into your heart to wound you and to kill you will be what? It will be quenched by this shield. Not just redirected by this shield, not just coming into the shield and then starting a fire on the shield and damaging the shield. Not at all. That's not what it says. It says it will be extinguished by Jesus, our shield. Every dart, all the fiery darts of the wicked, of the wicked one. And Christ is our shield. And Christ was our shield on the cross. And Christ took on and consumed, as it were, all the fiery wrath of the Father. So what are a few sparky, fiery darts from the devil for him? Nothing. Nothing. And therefore we must hide behind Christ. And not just that doesn't just mean we kneel down and just hold on to the shield. There are times in life when we have to, but as we're going to continue and look at the helmet and look at the sword, that there is an active going into war as well. But always behind the shield, always behind Christ, always protected by Christ. And so, soldier of Christ, let me call you all a soldier of Christ that know Christ, that you're to hold fast to this shield of faith, this shield of Christ. And you are to trust your shield. Trust it with your life. Trust your shield's every word. Obey him and show that you trust him. Are there commands that you've not yet obeyed? And maybe your conscience is saying now, I've let that one go. I've ignored that one for too long. Well, it means you're exposed to the devil. So get back behind your shield, soldier, and the devil will have no chance at all. Do you know this? There are 0% casualties for obedient soldiers of Christ. Get behind Christ. Amen. Let us close this portion of our meeting in prayer, please. Lord, we thank thee that thou art our shield and our buckler. Thou art our high tower. Thou art our rock. Everything that is stable and safe and protecting art thou. As we've considered, thou wert also our shield on the cross, shielding us from the Father. We thank thee, Lord, for shielding us from the righteous wrath of God against sin and extinguishing that wrath by the pouring out of thy life and thy lifeblood. Lord, forgive us where we have stepped out of the shield, where we have exposed ourselves and allowed ourselves to be wounded by thine enemy and ours. We pray, Lord, for grace to humble us, to lay hold upon the shield of Christ and hold tight in the war, the great war, against Christ and his people. Lord, forgive us our sins. Help us now in this time of prayer. Hear us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.